Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasselot, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here. Tommy, now, listeners to the podcast will probably have experienced a few of their other shows that they listened to over the past couple of weeks have some, like, weirder episodes, some people calling in, some shitty sound quality, but with Filthy Casuals, you will be able to hear we're doing the show as normal, we're all in a room together, and that's because we have taken the huge step, the big precaution, the big move to actually start living together. We've rented a place together, yes. And we're sitting in a room together, touching each other on the knee, tentatively, to keep the quality of this show as normal.
Here we are, like, we all in the same room. Let me reach over and bop you on the nose, Tommy. Here I come. Oh,
yep, here it comes.
There you go.
Ow. Ow. My, what long arms you have. That took ages to get over to my nose. And when it finally did, boy, it hurt.
I was wiggling my arm back and forth like a snake to get over there. if you didn't have your eyes open in the same room that we're in for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we all moved in together, and then we also, once we'd signed the lease, we all went out together and we made the tactical business decision to go out and all get COVID-19 at the exact same time.
Yes.
We found out someone who had it, and then we followed their movements and licked every surface they'd been touching. We have all been infected for the same time for a week, and we're now on the other side.
So. I didn't touch that person. I ate a full bat. I just started again.
Right.
You know, you've heard of patient zero. Well, get ready for patient one. The guy who comes just after patient zero, but did the same thing and would have started it again. But I, you know, I'm a...
Now we're
living in a two-bedroom apartment.
I've actually got COVID-20.
We're living in a two-bedroom apartment together. Tommy and I sharing one bedroom. We're in bunk beds. The second bedroom, obviously, is the recording studio. And Adam is sleeping outside in a hammock. That's where you're sleeping, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Pretty rainy at the moment in a Melbourne April, but that's what you get when you live in the hammock life. I got to set it up there because fuck Tom Nook. I ain't paying for jack shit.
Oh,
he can't stop me having a hammock. I got it out of a floating present.
Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to get all of our food from now on. Just airdrops.
Yeah, I guess the floating balloon in is the Animal Crossing equivalent of the drone delivery, isn't it?
Mm.
Sure. You shouldn't really have balloons like that, though. They're bad for the environment, really.
True.
So, one of my many, many problems with Animal Crossing.
Whoa!
Let's do an Animal Crossing check-in. How are you guys going on the island?
I'm loving it.
I got bored. I haven't really checked in for a bit.
Whoa! Hello.
Yeah, I'll talk about the game that's taken my interest over from it.
Okay.
But it's definitely fallen by the wayside because I'm living in the future currently with the game I've been playing.
Well, I'm still living.
Can we just talk
paradise.
About it right up the top?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that can be our first review. I want to just briefly touch on Animal Crossing as Tommy did bring it up.
Waste of time in the modern era. Animal Crossing.
It's like my only routine. It's my only life routine at the moment because I don't have work. I'm getting up in the morning and being like, oh yeah, I'll exercise and I'll check in on Animal Crossing and I'll pull out all of the weeds. I've got my three town residents now and they're just about to upgrade resident services. And so I've got like both the shops. I'm going up to Tom Nook and asking what to do and he's saying, I have no suggestions anymore.
The resident services upgrade is pretty big because at that point, the little ATM that's in there automatically as like a makeup gives you a free as though you've been checking it every day for a week.
Oh, right. That's cool.
I swear to God I was checking that thing every day, and then twice it was like, nah, you didn't check it yesterday.
Yeah, that happened to me today. I'm back to 50 nook miles for checking in. I'm like, I spent most of yesterday on this game.
It may have been because we've lost all track of time in the way, the lifestyles that we're currently leading, but mm-hmm. I swear that that thing is broken or a scam.
It could be a scam.
Yeah, it really opens up a lot when Resident Services gets upgraded. I kind of had to... It has been really nice that we've got this big thread going in the Facebook group of people that listen to this kind of sharing their screenshots and stuff. I kind of had to stop looking at that stuff, though, because I found it's very easy to get, like, not competitive, but especially early on, see the progression of other people's islands and then kind of feel like you weren't doing it right because you didn't, you know, you weren't quite at the same level as everyone else's town, especially when you all started on the same day. Mm. And I kind of think that's not the point. Like, so it's been a lot more satisfying to just be like, hey, I might be a couple steps behind everyone else, but that's fine.
You have discovered that is just, it's taken Animal Crossing to do it, but that is the social media experience. That is all of social media completely. Mm. Not just Animal
Crossing. Yeah, you're right.
I'm completely the same way where I literally don't understand how people have gotten the crazy rooms that they have at this point.
Yeah.
And like, I farmed a million fucking sharks. It's like, how, motherfucker? How did you do that? Yeah. I reckon Game Genie has put out a new product and someone's using it.
You can slide on the Animal Crossing Joy-Con, maybe they contain the secret special codes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
But yeah, I've got my house popping off. I've got my I've got my front yards looking nice. I've got cherry blossoms in my town at the moment, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
I've got that fucked little rabbit that's like a timed thing where there's now eggs buried all over my town. Not loving that, I have to say.
I hate that. That's my one criticism.
They're kind of getting
criticism.
In the way of the hoarding, yeah.
Yeah, I hate it. I'm not a fan of Easter, generally. So the fact that you can't turn this off, it's so annoying. Yeah. I hate it.
I liked the times.
I wish that Jesus had stayed dead.
It's such a weirdly innocuous thing to hate, the way that Easter is now, where people are like, oh, I guess it's Easter soon. What do we do? Nothing? Sure.
Yeah, I think it's just a waste of time. I don't like chocolate eggs. Just get it out of my life.
Fair enough. That's weird. Chocolate eggs are great. Not the best chocolate delivery method because it's a messier way of eating chocolate. The fact that they crumble the way that they do. But to be clear as well, we do not live together and we are not recording in the same room. If it sounds like we're taking pauses here, it's because we absolutely, like every podcast you're listening to at the moment, probably are recording remotely. But our sound quality, higher.
Yeah. Perfect sound quality. What I can see, I mean, I've been to both of your houses. There's nothing fantastically shocking about what's behind you.
Thank God.
There's nothing much to comment on. Nox, I can see out your window to the real world, which is quite delightful. I haven't seen
that's pretty nice, hey.
To the real world.
Big grey sky at the moment. Yep. A rainy, yuck Melbourne day. I can even open this door up and look at that.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
That's it feels like I'm getting fresh air. Yeah, this is
I'm
good.
I'm going to hold the microphone out so you can hear the no birds near my treeless apartment building tweeting. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it's just like being there.
Animal Crossing. Yeah, it's still the same as last week.
Yeah, I still like it. I have started getting more into the crafting finally. I guess I just started getting the DIY recipes that I needed, building out my house. It's starting to feel like I'm almost maybe hitting the threshold of it being boring. Like the sort of busy work is not as satisfying to me as it was at the start, like weeding and picking all the fruit and all that shit. But I mean, it's still something to do. Fuck.
That was the thing I found. I found that checking in on it every day, I was doing the same routine of go around, hit all the rocks, go around, dig for all the fossils. Mm. And that got a little tedious for me at that point, largely because there's other stuff now that I'm a lot more interested in.
Yeah. Mm. Like you said, Ben, I'm kind of enjoying the thing of, make a coffee in the morning and then just spend half an hour just checking in on the shops, see what different stuff is there. If a friend of mine is online and I can go to his island and sell fruit from my island in his shop, get a big chunk of money from it, check his different items while I'm there. Like, I kind of like that there's not as many of like the bigger tasks of setting up the island at the moment. Like right. It is easier to just get on there for like a brief amount of time and just do a bit of pottering.
Mm-hmm. But you can build pots.
But that being said, that's because I don't have the option of fully jacking in to another virtual world.
Totally. You wanna get yourself out of here, forget that you're stuck in the house and mm-hmm. go travel around in a different type of post-apocalypse, then do I have the expensive fucking game for you. I finally got myself set up to play Half-Life Alyx. Mm-hmm. It's the new 13 years later Half-Life game that people thought probably wasn't ever going to happen.
Yep.
And on top of that, it's like a big flagship VR thing that is trying to make a case for VR as a viable new thing, which a lot of other games have done already. And people have been talking about the fact that there's been a number of like, this is the one that makes VR make sense. But
yep.
I've played maybe half of it at this point, and this is the one that makes VR make sense for me. It's been so fucking right. cool so far.
That's awesome. It's kind of the worst time economically for a game to come out and make people go, yeah, I really want to spend $600 on this. But
at the bare minimum, that's what you're spending.
True. It's also an interesting decision to be cooped up in the house and go, you know what I want to feel? Just a little more boxed in. If there was some way I could have something over my head trapping me even further inside the box that I'm already trapped in. Yeah.
And then when I'm inside of it, even if I dare to move, it'll bring up big blue grids to tell me not to move any further or I'll punch a wall.
Fuck.
And then even if I'm completely sunk into it, it's small little areas in this like alien infested post-apocalyptic diseased world.
A very tense alternate scenario.
Yeah. But it's so fucking well made and cleverly designed and effective that I am loving every second of it, that I can stand to be in there. That's the one drawback, is that you can only do VR for a certain amount of time at once. But it's fucking incredible. It's so good.
Wow.
I made all of these purchases that were required for it previous to, you know, our situation's changing a little here. And hey, might that be influencing the way that I feel about this? Maybe I'm mentally doing some jumps in my head to try and justify this purchase. But
that's good though.
Not if you're trying to recommend it to other people or not.
No, but I mean, it's good to have something that like, having spent a lot of money on it, and also we can get into this in a second, but I believe it's been a bit of an odyssey for you waiting for this delivery
to arrive.
Yes.
So just like the sheer mental and financial investment, it is nice when something turns up and you go, I'm really on the hook and I'm going into this really wanting to like it. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's nice when you have a reason to go into something really positive, like really wanting to have a positive outlook rather than just be like, I don't really care if this is good or not.
Totally.
That's true.
Even without all the recent, like, I mean, it's nobody's fault. There's a fucking pandemic going on, but the delivery was all back and forth and crazy. But it's also been more than a decade since they've almost even spoken about Half-Life as a series. They were weirdly tight-lipped on it for so long. So being back in there and just hearing all the little sound effects and seeing all that art design again is really cool for me. But even more than that, this game is like the one that makes enough smart choices and makes them intuitive enough for someone coming into this that it feels like almost kind of Mario 64 levels of making a new thing make sense.
That's awesome.
How that sort of made 3D and 3D movement make sense. This makes you, and it took some adjusting in the start, but they teach you it, you know, pretty, not slowly, but they teach you it in very clever and very simple ways where you don't really realize that you're being taught these things, which is a perfect way to do it. And you become so physical in this world. You actually adopt your body as a control method, which I haven't really done in VR in the way that this makes you.
All the VR games I've enjoyed
until this point haven't done that.
Yeah, I've been trying to get around the motion controls or the VR aspects of VR games. Like basically up till this point, it's like, yeah, I want to be able to like have a 360 camera view, but I'm going to just kind of try and pretend that I'm sitting on the couch playing a game physically in every other aspect.
Totally. VR has been like a wraparound TV often.
Sure.
With some motion control. Mm. And this, I am completely in the presence of this character they're putting you as. I am bending over to pick shit up. I'm reaching into cupboards to like open them and just not even thinking about it. And that sounds mundane and it sounds silly, but like it is such a weirdly... It transports you into it so effectively by having this physical nature to the world that you're interacting with as well. It puts you so in the place. And so to the point where when a fucking zombie is walking towards you, it is terrifying. You are being fully attacked by people with guns and you are invested and believing in the world that it's happening in. It's pretty fucking intense, but so I guess a really interesting way.
What VR games have done to this point of like done some impressive things with visuals, mainly sort of immersive storytelling, but I don't think any of them that I, and like Astro Bot we've talked about a bunch of times, is just like a cool way to experience a 3D platformer and it's like a fun different perspective, but no VR game that I played so far has made the actions that you're performing physically feel like second nature, like that you are inside the game and that what you're doing is actually one-to-one or, you know, close to a representation of what's happening in the game and vice versa. It sounds like this is doing that, though.
This gets that done completely by being really clever about it and making the things that are most going to connect you to the world pretty one-to-one and making everything that's secondary to that a different type of control that means it can become second nature so that you're as free to move around as you would be if you were there without having to interact with the weirdness of if you've got a VR headset on your head, there's something in the back of your head at all times that's telling you, don't fucking move, you're in danger. What are you doing? You're going to walk into a wall. Don't swing your arms around. And so those sorts of actions, it doesn't require of you. The moving is either just on the left stick or it's like a teleport thing that works really well. The crouching can be set to a button. Anything that involves you moving in such a way that you would endanger yourself in the real world is being dealt with by some form of, you know, fake video game control. It's things like reaching over and picking things up, aiming down the barrel of your gun, leaning out of cover to shoot at something, looking up and like you put your offhand underneath your gun to level it like you would holding a gun. I'm fucking standing there in my living room like a fucking guy who thinks he's a SWAT team member because it effectively helps you aim and be ready to aim if you hold your gun in such a way, in a similar way that a real life person trying to shoot a gun would do. It feels fucking incredible to do as well.
So this game obviously is not going to be a game that most people will be able to play. It's a game that listeners largely won't be able to. It's like going to be like 5-10% of people. And we've talked a lot about sort of like the functionality of it. I want to like take us through the game itself. Like, don't spoil it, but I want to hear like what happens in the game. What happens at the start at least?
It's a prequel to Half-Life 2, which was set in a world where aliens had invaded, basically. You're playing as Alex Vance, who's like a young resistance kind of member. And it's your job to kind of go through the world and save some people who are in trouble and destroy some things that the enemy owns, basically.
Okay.
It's a shooting game. So as you're... and by the way, I just want to point out before I get into this, what a struggle it is to form sentences after not having properly spoken to anyone in 3 days.
Yeah.
This is taking every single cell that still exists in my brain to formulate a simple recollection of something that I've done recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
It's fucked how poorly you sleep when time no longer... Anyway, we're in a lucky position where time has no meaning at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess. Anyway, so you move through the world in the same way that you would in a first-person shooter. You're just walking around these pretty small levels that are... pretty similar to Half-Life 2, kind of little tunnels through the town, old abandoned hotels that you think there might be something in, that sort of thing. And as you go through, you shoot things. You shoot like zombies, head crabs, Combine soldiers, which are the alien soldiers. Each of them kind of designed to give you a different type of shooting challenge. Mm-hmm. So some of them are fast, and so you have to be able to aim quick. Some of them only have a moment where they've got a weak spot that shows up. Some of them will try and flank you. The soldiers and stuff are moving at you and trying to move around you, you know, similar to if you were fighting real soldiers, I assume. So you've got a lot of different sort of kind of combat scenarios to go through. And alongside that, when you are going through an environment, you might have little puzzles to solve that involve physics, throwing something over something or whatever. Right. These little holograms that show up on the alien computers that you have to hack sometimes, where you've got like maybe a three-dimensional ball and you have a puzzle that you have to solve inside of it. So the ball will have, this is one of the types, little kind of nodes on the outside of it at random points, and they'll have colors on them and little patterns as well if you happen to be colorblind. And you spin it around, you try to remember where they are, and then you've just got to match them together. But because it's happening inside of this three-dimensional ball, inside of the ball can be obstacles that you have to physically move your arm around and try to picture. So it's giving you things that wouldn't really be possible unless you could so easily move around and look at this object from different angles and hold it with you. And the how tangible everything feels while you're doing this is really impressive, because you just start opening doors the same way you would open a door and then knocking it out of the way with your hand. If you reload, you've got a few little weapons, like when you reload your pistol, you push the button that's on the controller to release the magazine. You reach behind your shoulder to where your backpack is to pull a new one out. You jam it inside the gun yourself, and then you cock the little chamber thing back yourself. Wow. When you've got a shotgun, you can do the Terminator thing where you reload it by kind of flicking it back up.
Oh.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it makes you feel so cool. And then, like, the reality of it is that if anyone were to see me doing this, I would actually shoot myself with a real shotgun.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But every moment of what it's getting you to do is so creatively designed and so inventive, but tangible and recognizable and immediately, like, intuitive, that it just feels like this really smooth experience of gaining more ability with this new control method and knowledge of this world that they've built, which is what I've missed from those proper Valve games that they used to make that they mm-hmm. haven't made one of in, I mean, if you want to count Dota or Artifact or one of those games that I haven't had much interest in, maybe they are like that, but those single player Valve games that they used to make, this is one of them again, which were the great on their own.
The thing that's also been missing from VR, like, control scheme and control function aside, is like a really, really good story, like a really good world.
Yeah.
Like people seem to be focusing on the tech, and like the, like games like Farpoint and stuff like that are like, yeah, we've made it so you can hold a gun and that feels real, but nothing else about the game is interesting. And this, it sounds like, well, Valve, you know, have a great track record in writing stories. If any game is going to combine it, it'd be this.
The way the world looks and sounds is so atmospheric that it drives you through this pretty simple story of, like, this person's in trouble, go save them. But it's so well written with all the dialogue that you get along the way. You've got Rhys Darby in your ear talking to you the whole time. He plays Russell.
Murray.
Yep. He's your pretty incompetent manager is literally what his character is.
Oh, great.
And he's, you know, he's kind of pretty blunt. When you're in a scary situation, you'll ask him for some support and he'll tell you that you're very unlikely to die, but if you do, here's how exactly it will happen. And it's pretty well written and it's usually pretty funny. There's a Vortigaunt, who's like one of the friendly aliens character, who is that kind of like Luna Lovegood, sees different points in time, so kind of doesn't make sense and is a little bit airy-fairy. Right. But he's very funny and very well written.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then just having him fucking stand in front of you and talk to you is just an amazing feeling, that even though other games have done it in VR, it's being done so well in this that it does feel like kind of Doom to Wolfenstein or something like that. You know how Wolfenstein was like, it kind of invented that first person shooter thing, but Doom was a point where people were like, ah, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
it's that feeling.
Wow.
I cannot say enough good things about this game. If you like shooting games, if you like single player kind of adventure story based games, it is just a really great one of them. And if you're interested in VR at all, it is the crystallization of every idea of how to do a sort of first-person VR game that's come before, made just like feel effortless. It really feels like a corner, some kind of turning point for VR that makes it like the only thing I want to see stuff be made in now, almost. That's not true, because this is a slower paced game and it'll take time. But like, it's fucking incredible. And if you have access to it, you absolutely should play it. If you don't, I wouldn't recommend just watching a playthrough on YouTube or whatever. I think a lot of the impact of what it's doing will be lost. I think you'd be better off hanging out for when this stuff does become more affordable, which it will at some point one day, you know. But if you are lucky enough to be able to do it, or stupid enough to be able to order it exactly before a pandemic comes along and you lose your job, then it is one of the coolest things I've played in a very long time, in a good number of ways, beyond it just being this impressive tech thing. It is like a very well-made game as well.
Fuck yeah.
Glad to hear you're enjoying it, because Ben and I have been following the odyssey of this equipment working its way to you for the last week and a half. So
more than that.
It's good to get... There's not many happy endings in the world at the moment, so it's nice to hear this.
Well, I did it exactly as this stuff started kicking off properly.
I
ordered it about a month ago, like the VR thing and a computer that would run it. And it meant that the people who were making the parts of the computer were like, oh, well, we don't have any of that anymore. Fuck. It's not coming now. So change some stuff. And then they're like, okay, we'll send it. Then Australia Post is obviously, you know, having a hell of a time, which good on them, and well done on them for doing it. And I've got the least important thing being delivered to me, so who gives a shit? I'll break this computer down and make it into ventilators. Don't worry. But I'm glad that it's here. It has definitely given me something to a little bright spot in all of this.
Yeah. I think Half-Life I was about Alex 48 hours away from ordering an Oculus myself, and I just didn't get it under the wire, unfortunately. I can't justify and it now.
Ultimately, this is just a first-person shooter. It is a really good one, and it is one that is doing new things with this new form of playing video games, but it's still just a game, and it's a really expensive one at this point, especially if you like buy a fucking Valve Index somehow, if they're available. They're like $1,000 US. Which I don't know if I'd recommend doing, because I've got an Oculus Rift S, and it plays great on that. I haven't noticed. The only thing with the Oculus is that the controllers fucking chew through batteries.
Oh, really? What do they run on?
Zipping through them. They've got one AA in each of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's I guess. That's not much
at all. Yeah. It fucking sucks that thing off quicker than whatever. You can do the rest. I couldn't think of one that I was like, for a second I was like, oh, the walls are closed in. Who cares? Who's going to come get me? But then I realized,
you were going to cancel yourself.
Yeah.
But also the feeling of like, I haven't talked to anyone for 3 days and this is how I'm using it by making a comment like this.
Totally. Anyway, I love Half-Life Alyx, and if you're able to play it, and if you're, you know, humming and hawing because you think it might not be good, but you are able to get it, I reckon get it.
Yeah, you're generally a pretty harsh and honest critic, Knox. You're not someone who tends to fall head over heels for games willy-nilly. And I would take your review as pretty accurate.
I think it's... Oh, the other thing that I didn't even mention is that on each hand, you've got these gloves that are sort of like versions of the gravity gun from the original Half-Life 2. And you so you point at an object that is in the distance that you want to get, and you kind of flick it back, and then it comes towards you and you have to catch it in the air. And just that act, it's one of those things where when a game nails a very basic thing that it's going to repeat a large number of times throughout its playtime, it feels good to play the whole time. And it just feels good every time you have something flying at you and you catch it, and then you fucking, it's a grenade and you push the button on it and you chuck it at something and it blows up. It feels fucking amazing every single time.
If they could do a VR version of God of War where you're doing that with the fucking axe, then I'd take out a second fucking credit card to buy that VR machine.
It is that level of like chunky, well-designed feeling that like you've got these little medical syringes to heal yourself, and to use them, you whip them out of, you've got like sort of these pockets on your wrists. So you pull it out of there, you push the button on it and the syringe spikes out, and then you stab yourself in the chest with it. And you Pulp Fiction yourself, and it feels great every time. Because usually when you're doing it, you're in the middle of this really hot gunfight Right. And you're like literally dodging and weaving to get out of the way of these bullets. Mm. You're kind of trying to... It feels very kind of... This is such a lame comparison, but you know how it's a little John Wick in the way of like... You're using these very unconventional methods to fight these people. So mm-hmm. because...
Like with guns. You know,
exactly. How did they think of it? But like leaning behind a wall and then unconventional for a video game at least, peeking out with your own head out of cover and then sticking your hand around the wall and shooting wildly because you know you've got enough ammo. That'll mm-hmm. give them pause so you can run over to another part of the thing and grab a grenade. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, man. It does. It sounds like it does literally sort of put you in that position, which... But yeah, yeah. No game really has done before.
There's a fair yeah. amount of horror elements to it as well, so I don't know whether or not you will enjoy it, Ben, at some point.
Oh, I mean, with a horror movie, if the movie's good enough, then I'm happy to be scared by it. And it sounds like this is good enough, yeah.
The first times that you get attacked by any of the enemies, just the intensity of seeing that thing physically occupying the space in front of your face... trying to hurt you is it really turns on a part of your brain that video games haven't turned on for me before.
Yeah, fuck.
Wow.
When you catch yourself leaning over a bin to look inside of it for a fucking collectible, like, yes, you're looking at for collectibles in a game, but you're doing it like you're in the real world. It really is a what's that word? It's not transportational. It moves you into
transcendent?
It, whatever the... That'll
immersive.
Do.
Immersive.
Immersive. I've never heard that game used before in video game critiquing. That's a pretty good one. Immersive.
Well, I put in a mammoth 2 a.m. session on Doom Eternal the other night, but I played it on my TV with a controller like a fucking caveman.
Yeah. You rube. You absolute rube.
Yep. Yeah, having a lot of fun with that game. Did you play it? Did you start it at all, Ben?
No, I haven't even bought it yet. I'm sort of trying to only buy what is necessary. Yep. So like one game a week, basically. But
as deemed right? by the WHO, that is the bare minimum yeah. for a person to survive on. I remember in World War II when they used to get those ration packs and there'd be a packet of cigarettes, there'd be some crackers, and there'd be a copy of what was World War II back then, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. but no, I want to play Doom Eternal. I loved Doom from 2016. So I'm just waiting until I have a job again. But yeah, sounds sick.
Real fun. Yeah, just all the... really clicked with me a lot more. Like the, fluid, just... Yeah, got into a bit more of the rhythm of what you were talking about with it, Adam. Like the kind of almost Bayonetta thing of like... you're just having a great time with it and got very happily distracted by it for several hours, which was exactly what I wanted. But I also started this week Persona 5 Royal.
Oh yeah. Now that is my game. That is my game that I was allotted this week.
is it the same as Persona 5? So Persona 5 Royal is basically just Persona 5, except it knows Jeffrey Epstein? Is that the case?
Yeah, I chose to play as Prince Andrew on this on this playthrough.
Tell you what, he is loving the high school setting. fitting right in.
I've only put about 2 hours into it so far. I mean, maybe this is naive. I was surprised to turn it on and like the intro song is completely different, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, me too. So I thought this was just like a little content pack towards the end or something. But even like the intro, you know, sort of cinematic stuff and that whole sort of, you know, set in the future leading up to, you know, the framework thing, that's all different as well. It's already really, really different.
I couldn't really remember. I thought that was the case. So so one of the new characters that comes up at the end of this new version is spliced into the intro. Is that what was happening?
Yeah.
Right,
that's what
I thought that was the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. And then it pretty quickly does become a lot of it is the same. It is the same game.
Yes.
That's the only thing I had forgotten is it does take a long time to really get you into it. So I kind of have just been churning because I'm sort of, in a bit of a weird position with it where I'd played a good chunk of the original one and then left it for a bit, heard this was coming out, figured I'd just wait. So I'm kind of just desperately trying to get back through stuff I'd already done to get up to the stuff because I've still got probably 70% of the original game that's new to me. So kind of quickly trying to get through this. But that being said, just loving being back in the all the stylistic stuff of it that we've commented on before. Still absolutely holds up. Did you get the thing where you get like a... It's pretty small, but you get like a little bonus thing for having save data of the original one on your PS4? Yeah.
What is the bonus? Because I did notice that come up, yeah.
It's just a cardboard box that's in your room when you move in that's just got a different set of clothing in it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's nothing, that's cool. Nothing that significant. But
yeah.
But... Yeah, how are you finding it? Because you played the full 100 hours of it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. How are you going with it?
I mean, it's good for me at this point in time in the world because it's another game sort of like Animal Crossing where it's like, yeah, I can simulate having a fucking reason to get out of bed. I can go and walk around town and buy some lunch and, you know, meet friends in real in the real life. Like it's a good game for that, of sort of having this structure. It's very, very structured. And yeah, I guess I finished it. I sort of played the original one over about 6 months. So finished it. What's that? A couple of years ago? 18 months ago? I can't remember when it came out.
Yeah, about
2 years ago.
That was the thing I found with chucking it on, is that it's not quite long enough for me replaying it to kind of have that nostalgia thing. Like, just certainly the you know, the fonts and the sound effects and everything, pretty quickly I was like, oh yeah, that's right, that this looks and feels so good. But it wasn't like that deep. It's not like I've really forgotten much of the story beats that I'd already played. And yeah, like I said, the start, it does really take quite a long time before it just sort of lets you go and kind of do your own thing. So
yeah,
kind of just kind of feeling like I've just got to put the time in to just sort of sit there and go through that, this stuff that I remember how it all goes from, you know, I can't even really get lost in it yet because it is quite recent that I played it.
And that is why I haven't gone in at all yet, because I think that that's the only experience I would really have with this, having finished it as well, like you, Ben. The fact that it is a re-release of a game that came out, 3 years ago, I think, with some new content, and it sounds like significant and good new content, but I'm not ready, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing that I've been thinking about as I've been playing through, maybe the first 3 hours, is, oh, it will be interesting to me to play this to see if I do anything different. But the issue is, with this game, the story's not going to change. There's not going to be alternate, you know, branches. There's not going to be an alternate ending. The differences are going to be with the characters that I become friends with, or the personas that I choose to have and use regularly and upgrade. I think that's kind of about it. Like, what flowers I buy, what chocolates I buy on what particular day, which I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's been long enough for me to enjoy just soaking up the world again, because if the differences are what product I buy, what present I buy for what friend that I choose to be friends with, I don't know if that's enough. And I'm not likely to do it differently, because the first time I played it through, I was just doing it naturally, becoming friends with the characters that I liked. You know, I haven't changed that much in 2 years. So,
and it is very on rails, so it's not like there's too much that you can do that's going to significantly change your outcomes.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. But it's 3 years later, so I'm still a hot doctor, man. That is...
I am really looking forward to getting past the getting up to where I got up to the first time around, which I think I was nearly at the end of the second castle, which like I'd sunk a lot of time into it, but still, in terms of the overall game, not that much.
No, not at all. I mean, I wish I was in your position. You've got so much more to go. There's characters you haven't met yet.
It's all fresh. So
yeah.
I think I'm kind of in the best position where it's like, I know I like it. It's like, I may as well wait for this kind of upgraded version, and then it'll be kind of easy enough to just get back up to where I was before. And I've kind of forgotten enough about the mechanics of it, especially like the personas and merging them and everything, that I kind of would rather just start this fresh than go back in on my old save and kind of have to, you know, work out what it all means and how it all works.
Yeah, I guess the one thing, like, and it's a great game. It was, I believe, my game of the year it came out. Like, I love it.
Yep.
And that's sort of the saving grace of going in on this again, is that I've got a lot of free time. This might go on for months. Yep. I've got a long game that I love that I get to play again. And that's, you know, that's going to be true no matter what. And there's extra content and there might be more changes to it that I'm not aware of. So, you know, there is that.
It is just a shame that for anyone in your position that, yeah, you couldn't just get that extra stuff as DLC or just play it as a separate chapter. But
yeah,
I guess it's cool on the other. It's cool on the other hand that it is like integrated that, you know, deeply into the game.
Mm.
I suppose it's a double-edged sword, right? Where like I would love to play 20 hours more Persona 5. I don't want to play 120 hours more right now.
Yeah.
But like, it's still early. I did love that. It is one of my favorite games of all time. So I'm not sure if I'm being too nitpicky or overthinking it, because I might just like it. Like, I've got a bunch of other games on the go as well. So if I'm dropping in for an hour or two a day of Persona 5 when I am not allowed to leave the house, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
I tried to play a bit of the Bravely Default 2 demo.
Mm-hmm.
What could have possibly gone wrong?
Yeah.
The word try and fail really thrown me.
I succeeded in playing a bit of it. I failed in enjoying it for even the 10 minutes that I put into it. I don't know, very, very by the numbers JRPG stuff. And after having, I think Persona 5 had like just been delivered, I was like, yeah, what, you know, what am I doing this for? Yeah. I'm not particularly enamored with the visual style of it. The story and the writing is just very by the numbers. I'm sure that there's of course someone who it'll appeal to, but yeah, I just couldn't muster up any kind of enthusiasm for it. I just found it incredibly vanilla and pretty dull, pretty samey.
I've downloaded it. I did want to play it. I have nothing but time. I want to play it. I don't know. That original one, or those original two, They're classics, right? People really hold them in high regard, and I was hoping that this was going to be another sort of top tier experience. I guess I'll give it a go. I might like it.
Yeah, heard nothing but good about those first ones, but yeah, this just wasn't really for me. Didn't really grab me.
Okay.
One thing I thought was cool about it that it kind of tells you when you start it up is that it's not, I think this is what it said, it's not showing you anything that's from the actual game. It's kind of like a side thing that they've made just for the demo.
Oh, nice.
It's like its own little kind of standalone area. And it's just like, this is just kind of a, parallel thing to show you a little bit of the flavor, teach you a bit of the mechanics. I thought that was kind of a cool way of doing a demo. Cause that is cool. We're going to have to deal in a week's time with the Final Fantasy VII remake, having just done the demo of that and it not letting you carry your progress across. Not like it's the worst thing in the world, but too often it's kind of a drag when you get up to the bit that you've played in the demo that you're just sort of doing the same thing again, or the demo kind of spoils the experience for you.
Do you know a game that did that back in the day was the original Half-Life? So
really,
once again, you've got a big daddy Half-Life to thank for that, and probably several other games before it.
Speaking of Final Fantasy VII Remake,
it is
on shelves now in Australia because of COVID-19 supply chain thing. Square sent it out early to our country. They put out a thing saying that this was happening and kind of sort of urging people not to spoil it and all that kind of stuff.
A bizarre thing to say about a remake of a 20 whatever year old game.
Yeah.
That implies that there's significant changes in this.
They did say that. They were like, even though it's been out for ages, there's stuff in it that we want, you know, plenty of people to be able to experience for the first time. Some people will have their hands on it already. We've all pre-ordered it on Amazon. And I got an email the other day saying, there's been an updated delivery time. The 9th of April. Cool, a whole day earlier. So... Yeah, I'm just going to wait out my pre-order of that because I've got plenty on the go at the moment. But I found that very funny that for something that initially did get delayed has now ended up coming out early because of a global pandemic.
That is funny.
It is. Yeah, hey, you know, you got to take your laughs where you can get them at the moment.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah. I also played a little bit of a game called Good Job, which went up on the Nintendo eShop, I think like a week ago. And it's basically top-down isometric view. You're a little office employee and you get given tasks like bring this projector into this room. And you basically have to get creative about how you get the projector into the room. So you can like set up a cord, plug a cord into a wall, and then get the projector and kind of slingshot it off that through the wall, like break through the wall, and you get rewarded for how much the monetary value of the damage to the rooms that you've done as you're smashing down walls and knocking over towels and stuff.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting concept. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Blast Corps, which is a game that I loved on the Nintendo 64 when I was a kid and have talked about before how there's nothing really of that ilk that I've seen in a little while. So it has a bit of that flavor to it. But then I got up to a level last night. It's all kind of very physics-based where, you know, yeah, if you bump into a table, it kind of, you know, wobbles in quite a realistic way. And I got up to a bit where that the kind of sort of realistic nature of the physics was kind of making it harder than it should have been to solve a puzzle. So I worked out that I needed to get a crane and move this box and sort of position it so that I could make a platform across it. But when you drop the box, it kind of wobbles on the ground and like tips over. You know, that kind of thing where you sort of feel like you're being impeded by the sort of realistic nature of this box falling in the way a box would actually fall. It's like, no, I've worked out what to do. I've solved the puzzle. It just feels like a lot of luck of like managing to drop it exactly the right way so that it doesn't tilt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd need to play a little bit more of it to work out if that's how annoying that would become. But on the surface, it's, you know, it's kind of cool. It's a little puzzly, you know, fun, different idea.
That whole Nintendo Direct Mini was in between the last episode we recorded, right?
Yep.
Cool. Should we talk about that a bit, I guess? There wasn't that much interesting in it, to be honest, but...
I don't know if I even saw it. I watched the Nindies one, but if this is an additional one, I think this just passed me by.
Yeah, this just
went up on their socials with no kind of, you know, normally they go on this date. They just put this up, which...
It's mostly some like third-party stuff, like updates on some smaller games coming out at the moment. The announcements were like, oh, there's going to be a Borderlands 1 and 2 package on the Switch. Or the BioShock collection is coming out on it. Stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw a few. I guess I just came across some of the announcements. There was something else as well, another good game that I was like, oh, yeah, I played that recently on a big boy console.
Here's a quick little list of them. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is coming out on the same day as Last of Us, May 29th. 2K Games announced, the BioShock Collection, Borderlands 1, 2, and pre-sequel, I think it is. And then maybe one other game as well, I don't remember. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is getting a DLC. There's a game called Shinsekai Into the Depths that's also on Apple Arcade for free if you've got that. An Animal Crossing little, hey, it's out now. Here comes the Easter Bunny. Good Job game, Catherine Full Body.
That was the other one,
Ring Fit Adventure's getting some kind of update, I believe, with like a rhythm mode that looked pretty cool.
I played this.
Yes, nice. Yeah, me too. Let's talk about that, Tommy. So I've been playing Ring Fit every day. The normal, you know, the base mode I've been doing. I cannot only continue to recommend it. It's really, really been great. We talk about it a bit on our recent Bandcamp episode, 10 Games to Play If You Were Hypothetically Not Allowed to Leave the House for a Long Time. So I've been loving it, just the normal game. I've been setting up these custom sets of like one that's sort of like a lot of different exercises, one that's mostly like cardio and running, another one that's like mostly stretching, like pretty, you know, intense yoga poses. And I've been loving it. It's been great. It's been keeping me active. And then, yeah, they dropped this rhythm mode, I guess, what, 3 or 4 days ago. And I was really keen to go in on it. It's not particularly good or deep or intense or anything. It's a limited set of songs as well.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's just kind of a cool, it's vaguely interesting novelty, different way of using the equipment. But it's not like it's particularly fun or a particularly great workout.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's just something kind of interesting that's in the mix. That it's not like you'd ever be going, oh, I'm going to do a couple of songs every day.
No, no, because it's like, it's basically only Nintendo songs. It's the Jump Up Superstar one. It's a version of the Mario song. There's some stuff from Breath of the Wild, which was kind of cool. And they sort of, I think, tweaked it a little bit to be a bit more like boom, 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 a bit of a pounding beat to it. But yeah, it's not sort of intense enough to be fun. If there were more songs, like if there were pop, like actual songs, I'd probably do it. I would probably do it, you know, once a day.
Well, I wonder if this was like them sort of testing out whether or not this would make for a fun game, deciding, ah, this isn't really going anywhere. And then almost like that Labo VR stuff being crammed into Breath of the Wild, just being like, ah, we'll put it somewhere, but this hasn't really panned out.
It's not really its own thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. We're gonna do this tested development anyway. We might as well get some use out of it, give it to some people, to some consumers.
Well, and Ring Fit is like sold out. At this point, you can't really get a physical thing of Ring Fit at the moment.
I did it on the other day after this update and did a bit more of the main story mode in it. And it's such a good workout. I had forgotten how much it really kicks your ass. And that was like, I put the difficulty down on it a bit because I hadn't played it for a while. And I was fucked at the end of it.
Yeah, it's been great. It's good for like very intense short workouts, which I'm finding are like all I need to be doing. Like I'm going for one walk a day and I'm doing sort of 20 to 30 minutes of this. And that's like enough. Like if you're someone who's like, oh, I can't be bothered exercising. It's like, for me, it's like I get distracted very easily. But like just doing 20 minutes of exercise a day seems to be enough. So it is a shame you can't buy any of these Ring Fits new at this point. But yeah.
Well, you can buy King's Bounty 2, whatever that is. They talked about Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, the new characters come for that. The next one will be from ARMS, but they haven't said who it is yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming in June or July. Brave Little Default 2, Clubhouse Games, bunch of poker and shit, backgammon. Something called Ninjala
I'm fucking really excited for Clubhouse Games.
Really?
Yeah.
51, I don't know. Looks... At the moment, sure, like, you know, take the Switch around to my girlfriend's house, play backgammon and chess and shit on all that. It seems the only thing I don't like about it is, like, them going, anyway, it's out in 2 months. Just drop it now, you pigs. Like,
we're all clamoring for Clubhouse Games. We need
this.
Tommy, your mind is going to be blown when you Google the word games. And every single one of those comes up immediately able to be played.
It is funny though, like they go through the list and it's like, it's got, backgammon, checkers, chess, all that stuff. And then by the end of it, it's like battle tanks, rock'em sock'em robots. There's all these like weird kind of very video gamey things in there.
Soggy biscuit.
I also like the one point where they're like, showing Kinect 4 and they're like, 4 in a row. There's some very dubious copyright stuff.
The Parker
going
brothers
on there.
Are gonna be onto them.
Kinect 4 has the absolute best ones of them. My girlfriend and I were in a pub years and years and years and years ago, it feels like now. But it was one of the pubs that has the board games there. And the version of Kinect 4 that they have was called something like 4 Gets a Win. There's the fact that they can't all even use 4 in a row or something like that. The fact that every variation of it has been copyrighted to the point where they need to be calling it like, 4 score in 7 years. 4 skin.
1, 2, 3 and then the other one.
Yeah. Hope you get them all. 4 that is.
It's funny.
Don't let the other player get 4.
Not the concept.
Yeah.
There was also, yeah, something called Ninjala. Don't remember that. Star Wars, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, which is another weird, like, okay, I guess.
Oh, and yeah. Podracer? Did I see someone tweeting about Podracer? Yeah,
that's going to come at some point. The Panzer Dragoon remake is out now, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the turn-based JRPG sort of thing, yeah?
Nah, it's like an on-rails shooter.
Oh, right.
There was... Yeah, Panzer Dragoon, like, they did two games that were on-rail shooters, and then the third one was, like, an RPG.
Okay. I might have a look at it.
And, yeah, some more stuff about the Pokemon Sword and Shield expansion passes. Just little bits and bobs.
It was a pretty light-on direct, and the way that it kind of got rolled out made me think that maybe they have had some long-term plans affected by the uncertainty of... all the current state of the world. Because
possibly.
Then in the last week, there's been a lot of websites that don't typically tend to report on just rumors circulating this story that apparently, because it's the 35th anniversary of the first Mario Brothers, that they're planning some kind of deluxe collection that's got Mario 64, Mario Sunshine and the Mario Galaxy games in it. And then a port of Mario 3D World that's got new deluxe, you know, new levels and stuff added onto that. So yeah, that's really been doing the rounds in the last 48 hours. Paper Mario.
Be saying that it's Super Mario Galaxy 1. I haven't seen anyone mention Super Mario Galaxy 2 at any point. You would hope it was both.
Cool. That's the speculation that there's a heap of the old ones back on there. Yeah, new Paper Mario. I don't know what to make of it. I hope it's true. I hope that's happening this year. It does seem too good to be true, because it seems like everyone wants this to happen. And when did Nintendo ever do something that everyone wants to happen? So
roughly once every 10 years. And I think that this will be like, because they've done the Super Mario All-Stars thing. They've done compilations like this with Kirby and whatever. I could see them doing this, because I think one negative of it is if they were redoing Mario 64 and Super Mario Sunshine, it would suggest that they don't have any plans to bring 64 games or GameCube games to like the Switch Online thing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That could be a downside of it.
Unless they're like remasters.
Sure. That'd be so weird looking. Like a Mario 64 remaster would fuck with my head a little bit, I think. I don't know why.
Unless they add a bunch of like assets and tech, like it'd just probably either look like Odyssey, or it'd just be like really smooth, really smooth textures, I guess.
That's what I mean. Like any version of that game that isn't that original, or they made one for the DS, I guess it looked basically the same. But yeah. I don't know. That'd be cool if they did that stuff.
It was kind of like an All-Stars style package where they had all those old 8-bit games in the 16-bit style. I imagine it'd be kind of making Sunshine and 64 look kind of like they're in the same engine as Galaxy. I don't know.
Sure. And like those Galaxy games are great. If it's both of them, that's awesome. We get the Japanese version of Mario Brothers Sunshine, because we got Doki Doki Sunshine over here. I don't know if you... A lot of people don't know that fact. But we actually got a reskin version of Doki Doki Sunshine.
Very
good.
I don't
know what that was like for you, Ben, but Adam's part of the connection started dropping out really badly for me then.
Yeah,
but
same.
I could still tell exactly the joke that was being made.
Yeah,
it's because
I can hear it in my head.
Difficult.
but these are games I've never played. I never played 64, or like I played it once at a friend's house. Right. I never played Sunshine, never owned Galaxy or Galaxy 2, so this is for me, basically. So thanks.
It's kind of a shame that 3D World isn't talked about being included in this. That'll be almost definitely separate. And hopefully that'll have 3D Land with it maybe as well. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the person who claims to have this inside information has said that it would be, 3D World with a heap of new levels in it, which
makes
be
sense.
Fucking sick, because
it's
fucking great,
and that has been their
weird
MO.
That it's not on Switch already.
That has been their MO with every other Wii U game they made. So,
yeah,
those would be cool. You know, they'd be remasters and whatever, but that's not a bad sounding set. And the idea of a new Paper Mario game, if it's like back to the old style of Paper Mario game, that'd be fucking rad if they did that.
Well, again, yeah, the thing that I read, this is what that guy was saying, was it was, yeah, more in line with Thousand Year Door and the original one, and less like the last two one that people seem to be not into. So, yeah, I mean, if all that stuff, if that's true and that's all happening this year, then that's great. And it, I mean, it seems like maybe it was something they were ready to announce in this direct that just happened, and then, I don't know, maybe they're worrying about the things being shut down and the possibility of, you know, having to shuffle around dates or whatever. I don't know. Like, the way that direct went out kind of seemed very, like...
I mean, it could be something even weirder, like it had a tie into the 2020 Olympics, because, like, Mario was tied in with the Olympics.
Yeah.
And Nintendo Land is obviously going to be delayed, true, the opening of that. So it could be that all of that stuff was in the marketing for it, so they've got to pivot on that.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, and even separately from, say, the Olympics... It's just the fact that maybe production for other games has had to stop or, you know, has been affected. Yeah. So maybe they hold on to it to fill a gap that they now have in, you know, July, October, maybe December. We'll see. Yeah.
It sounds very plausible, and multiple people have said they have multiple sources on this. It doesn't sound out of the realm of possibility to me at all. So I reckon assume that's going to happen.
When all this stuff started kicking off, we started to see, obviously, a lot of movies got delayed, a lot of festivals got cancelled, but games at the moment haven't really been any big release dates affected, but that will happen eventually.
Yeah.
A company has to go, this would have been out at the end of the year and now it can't be, but there was no reason for them to not still be able to come out at the same date, which so far has been great. Like, I think everyone that listens to this would... agree. It's been having new stuff to look forward to and to sink your teeth into while you're locked up has been kind of one of the few things that's, for me at least, been able to keep me sane. Like, there's been a lot of stuff coming out in the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of stuff coming out in the next couple of weeks that I'm really looking forward to. Sort of having those little... I mean, I always look forward to new games coming out, but, like, more so than ever now. Like, oh, fuck, yeah, great. Next week, this is out, and I've got nothing but time to just... Like, there's going to be no things... left on the pile of shame at the end of the year. I mean, we'll be able to comment on the game of the year at the end of this year with, like, real certainty. No, like, oh, this probably would have been in my list, but I only played a couple of hours of it and then ran out of time.
We know which game is the best.
But presumably that's gonna be further down the line that we hear, oh, well, this company had to shut their offices down and it's not the sort of thing you can do from work, so this got bumped back by 6 months or whatever it is. But yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Mm. Two other quick things that probably aren't worth talking about that much, but they announced a remaster of the original Nier, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Never played that, but I love Automata, so I'm definitely up for this one. And another game I've been playing is Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but that's more than 20 years old at this point, and everything that has ever been said about it, it has been said.
Listen
to us talk about Hollow Knight, and yeah, I think pretty much the same thing.
A game that feels like it came out 20 years ago now, given the last month, is Red Dead Redemption 2, and I've been playing that. I started a new game, which Nox, you pointed out to me, is a meme, is a parody article from about a week ago. I'm really just playing into the stereotypes over here. But fuck, man, it's so good. It's and obviously I am reveling in a game that is taking its time, especially at the start. But I'm also just happily trotting around over the hills, no real purpose, just soaking in the view.
Not to spoil the game for anybody, but about halfway through that game, Arthur Morgan comes down with a very severe illness. I wonder if...
Maybe I'll just play it up until about 45% of the way through then.
Just before that point, and then and then everything was fine.
Yeah, man, I'll start it again.
Yeah.
But it's
skin enough rabbits to make hand sanitizer or something. If you play the game a bit differently in the beginning.
But fuck, it's still good. And this is not an overt plug or anything, but as we talked about in our 10 games to play in isolation, it actually is nice to have a representation of the outside world and a really beautiful environment, mm-hmm. and to just get to look at it. Like it's just it's better than looking at my wall. So it's not, it's obviously a great, fantastic game with a, you know, a fantastic story. It's very immersive and all of that going for it. But just as a tool to cope with isolation, it's also doing the trick.
Yeah,
nice.
That's pretty good. And if anyone hasn't played Symphony of the Night, go give it a go. It's fucking really good. I wish I hadn't slept on it for so long, because now it is so similar to all those other fucking Metroidvania worst title for a genre.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah,
but
I've wanted
it is
to go back and give it a try, but it does feel like, yeah, it'd be kind of hard to dip back into the thing that kind of kicked all that off.
Yeah, a little slow to get going, but it really is. You can see why it became the template for all of these games. I mean, Metroid is really the template, but this one does enough stuff differently that they are copying more from Castlevania. But yeah, it's good. Right. I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Well, I guess we should wrap it up for another week here on Filthy Casuals. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, who's been sending us nice messages in the last couple of weeks, letting us know that they've been enjoying the content we've been putting out. This is, of course, the first one of these that we've done remotely since everything kicked off. This is going to be how we have to do it for this foreseeable future. I hope this
was
okay.
We did do one unrelated just before everything kicked off. So
that's
true, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is it for a little while, so hopefully, bear with us. I hope this was okay to listen to. Obviously, a little bit of us getting to grips with it. But yeah, lucky that we're in a position where we can keep this going. We don't need to stop the pod for any reason while this is all going on.
Yeah.
If you want some extra content, check out our Bandcamp. We've got a bunch of premium episodes up there, including the last one that we did, which is free if you would like it for free, or if you want to pay a little money for it, you can pay what you want.
And
all
thanks,
the other ones are $1 minimum. Or
thanks so much to everyone who did put money in for that one, because like some people put like fucking heaps of money in, which was really unexpected but very, very cool. So thank you so much.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
And if you have the means to get on the Patreon, you can get an extra episode of this every week. Once again, really appreciate everyone who's done that, especially at the moment. Hope everyone's doing okay. Hope you're taking care of yourselves. Hope you're being safe. Hope everyone's health, both mental and otherwise, is doing okay. But we're all in the same boat. And we really appreciate you guys taking an hour out of your week to listen to this while this is all going on.
Yeah. I think on the Patreon, you guys have watched Tiger King, or at least some of it. Is that that's right?
We've watched it all
last night.
Yeah, sweet. I'm going to watch it all before we do our Patreon episode for next week. So if you want to hear us talk about that apparently very insane show, I think that's what we'll be doing, at least partially.
There hasn't been a lot of discussion about Tiger King yet online, so we figured we'd break the charge.
Well, no one has perfected
it's
it yet.
It's weird to think of there being a victor. It's weird to think of there being a victor out of the COVID-19 crisis, but I think we can say it's definitely the documentary Tiger King, something that by its banner image alone, nearly everyone in the free world would have completely ignored had it not been for being locked up with nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. And we will be dissecting that on the upcoming Patreon episode.
Yes. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to everything. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. As we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
If they remaster Mario 64, Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy, at the beginning when you turn it on, it should say, "It's a three Marios."
Oh my God.
Just my two fucking cents. Can I not have an opinion anymore? Am I not allowed to have an opinion anymore? Is that what it's come to?
No, I'm just shocked that the comedy festival's back on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.